In the spring of 2005, the chipmaker Intel made an announcement that raised some eyebrows in the West. The company said it would invest $1 billion in Vietnam, where it would operate an assembly test facility. It was only a few years ago that the offshoring of jobs was a big issue in U.S. technology circles, much of it based on the notion of getting cheap labor overseas. But the world has changed profoundly. The notion of made in Japan has gone from inferior cheap commodities to world-class products. The idea of made in China, or made anywhere else, is undergoing a transformation as tech companies invest in the minds and initiative of people around the world.
Intel is the biggest high-tech venture capital company in the world.
That's Intel Chairman Craig Barrett.
We do about half of our high-tech venture capital investments in Asia now. So if the Asian engineers, the Indians, and the Chinese weren't entrepreneurial 20 years ago, I can tell you that they are entrepreneurial today.
Intel Chairman Craig Barrett, speaking from the Intel International Science and Engineering Fair 2007 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Each year, the company hosts the event in a different location as high school kids from around the world compete with science projects that are more than just about making semiconductors. The projects cover areas such as plant sciences, chemistry, mathematics, medicine, social sciences, physics, and astronomy, just to name some. Barrett says the students from more than 45 countries do more than just science. Events such as ICEF become a platform for future relationships that continue to cross borders for years to come.
They get a great foundation in their peer group, not just in the United States, but everywhere around the world.
We used to hear that regions of the world produce different kinds of scientists, different kinds of engineers. Do you think that's true, or do you think it's still true?
In a sense, I think that the different university systems around the world have created different classes of engineers, if you will. The U.S. university system had a very unique structure whereby it really related to industry. It related to some degree of practicality of output. The European system was very ivory tower-ish and very hands-off from practical applications of engineering. So I think historically there has been some difference in the output of our universities and the capabilities of the students. But increasingly, the rest of the world has focused on the United States. They've seen the value of the U.S. university system. It's almost impossible to go anywhere in the world today and not see relationships between local universities and U.S. universities, where they bring the capability of U.S. universities to their local level. So I think that those distinctions are rapidly disappearing. There's another old wives' tale here that only in the United States do we have innovative minds that can create new ideas and new features. From a very pragmatic perspective, Intel is the biggest high-tech venture capital company in the world, and we do about half of our high-tech venture capital investments in Asia now. So if the Asian engineers, the Indians, and the Chinese weren't entrepreneurial 20 years ago, I can tell you that they are entrepreneurial today. They're starting businesses, they're creative, and we're involved there, and we're seeing the results of that. So I don't think those distinctions of perhaps 20 or 30 years ago are still valid going forward.
I looked all over the place to find out whether I could back this up, but when I was in Beijing at IDF, I overheard a conversation where someone said that in China, they're graduating 5 million engineers a year. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I imagine there are a lot of engineers being graduated from China.
That number sounds way high, and there are debates usually on really what constitutes an engineer and what is the definition of an engineer. I think it's safe to say that the countries like China are graduating substantially more engineers per year than the U.S. The U.S., by various measures, graduates something in the range of 75,000 or so engineers a year. China probably graduates a few hundred thousand.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What it means is they're creating a workforce to be competitive in the future, to be competitive with the U.S., Western Europe, Japan. It also obviously means that China is a very big country, and just for their own internal development standpoint, they need a bunch of engineers. So the engineering graduates, the number of engineering graduates there, you know, I don't think is a problem per se for the United States, other than its competition going forward. And as long as we recognize that and respond to it, we can be competitive going forward. But if we just sit here, as we have been for the last 10 or 20 years, and say, you know, we don't need to graduate engineers, we don't need to focus on math and science, we're the number one economy, et cetera, et cetera, then we're going to be in trouble. This is what the National Academy's report on Rising Above the Gathering Storm talked about in great detail, and it's what the current legislation in Congress is all about in terms of promoting math and science education in K through 12 and getting more kids interested in math and science and engineering at the university level.
Well, let's tie this to ISIF and what's happening at the event. The kids that are presenting these projects, what do they have to look forward to on a global level in terms of their future education and where they're going to be working?
Well, it's pretty clear that, you know, the world is flat. If it's not flat already, it's getting flatter. That jobs can move around, especially intellectual-based jobs, engineering jobs, science-based jobs, can move from country to country. We can communicate anywhere, anytime. We can send vast amount of data. So knowledge workers can be anywhere. So the kids of the next generation are going to have to face that fact that they're not going to compete, between Albuquerque and Denver and Phoenix. They'll be competing with engineers in Tokyo and Beijing and Bangalore. And there's no escaping this. The challenge for that next generation of youth is to get the best education they can. And the U.S. universities are still the best universities in the world, so the opportunity is here in the U.S. to do that. They have to get the best education they can, and then they have to do a good job. And usually to do a good job, it requires you to do something that you love to do, something you inspires you to get up every morning and go do a great, great, great job. That's precisely, by the way, the message I give my grandkids when they ask me what they should major in and what should they do. And I say, hey, you get the best education you can, and whether it's in math or science or music, whatever it is, and then be the best that you can be, because that's what it takes to be competitive.
Craig Barrett is the chairman of Intel. He spoke to us from the Intel International Science and Engineering Fair 2007, going on the week of May 13th in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net.